Hello and welcome to Inside Right. I'm here with Joe Kay. How are you?
I'm very good, Wes. Thank you for having me on.
I can't believe you're a Chelsea fan.
I am a Chelsea fan.
I found that out. First of all, before we even get into anything, why?
Why?
Yes.
Well, when
growing up?
Yeah, growing up when I was a kid, my first exposure to football was probably Fox Sports News,
yep.
Watching Chelsea win the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's a good way to get a kid hooked and get him to support a team.
So that's how your love for football started?
Well, I'd say I probably love for it started playing it, like
yep.
playing the game. And mm-hmm. then eventually when you get to that age when you can start watching it and realise what it's yep. like to support a team.
Yeah.
And seeing Chelsea lift that trophy, I was kind of hooked from then. And
fair
like,
enough.
As a kid, everyone's like a glory hunter. So
all the City fans who are 8-year-olds these days.
Yes.
Did your parents have any influence at all or anyone in your family?
You just no.
started kicking the ball and loved it.
Yeah, so obviously they took me down to my training. Actually, mum and dad took me down to my first training session and I just remember crying the entire time. I didn't want to go.
Oh.
And then after that first session, I wanted to go back every yeah. single week. So yeah. I was hooked. But yeah, in terms of supporting, no, they didn't I didn't come from a football family at all. So okay. it was just pick whoever you want.
Any sport they liked in particular?
Rugby league fan. Yeah. Like the team that was passed down to me was the Bulldogs
mm-hmm.
in the NRL. So that okay. was like my team. Mm-hmm. Actually, probably a reason why I picked Chelsea as well, because yeah. of blue and white, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Footballing idols. You got Lampard. Is it Lampard?
Yeah, Lampard yeah. on the back of the shirt. He's definitely an idol of mine for Chelsea. Also probably got Ibrahimovic.
Yep.
I just...
How can you hate him?
I think a lot of people do hate him because he's so arrogant. But
I think that's the thrill
yeah,
about him.
Yeah, when you're growing up, just watching him like doing these flicks and bicycle kicks, yeah. all this crazy stuff. I was like, yeah, that's what I like. That's yeah. what I like in football.
He'd
yeah.
say something outrageous and then back it up the next game.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm going to score 4 against England. Does it?
Yeah.
I remember that goal. I think this is one of the best goals, if not the best of all time. He did that overhead kick from 40 yards out against England.
Yeah.
That if you watch the full game back, that was like the 4th goal of the match for him. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was insane.
Let's go and let's talk about Joe K Football, your Insta page. When did you start it?
So originally started just doing TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I started that probably around mid-2022.
Yep.
I would guess. Yeah, so I started that just to try to showcase the local game a bit
nice.
More. And then eventually, yeah, I've recently started off the Instagram account as well.
That's where I saw you. I was like, yep, I've got to follow this guy.
Yeah.
Do you have any goals or ambitions with the page? Is there an audience you want to reach?
Yeah, it's Australians who
yep.
I want to showcase the Australian game to
yep.
Australians and try to get them a bit more invested in the local game. Because
yep.
I feel like right now there's a bit of a disconnect. Like we have a lot of football fans in this country, but we don't have a lot of Australian football fans. So if I can play any part in bridging that gap, I would, love to be able to do that. So
well, I'm a victim of that. I grew up on the Premier League and I didn't really look back at our own football in Australia. But this season, my goal is to learn more and more about the A-League and I'm getting there.
Do you have a team? Do you have a team actually?
I don't have a team yet.
What do you need to see to pick a team? What do you want to happen?
Don't
just pick who wins the comp.
It's a great question.
Like a moment or a player maybe that just you like or is
I like style of football.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously being a massive Liverpool fan, I want that press. I want that attack.
Yeah.
I want that passion coursing through the veins.
Yeah.
It's going to take me a couple of months to decide
yeah.
on the team, I think. But you know what? If you're listening and you want to leave me an instant message and say, convince me why I should pick a certain team, happy to do it. Happy to do it. I'm open to anything. Who do you think I should support?
Well, look, I'm a Wanderers fan. So I would say support
the
Wanderers.
Game?
Last
night?
No, yeah. I wasn't. It was girlfriend's birthday weekend. So we
gotcha.
Had a bit of stuff on for that. Yep. But caught the end of it. Picked up a 2-0 win. So that was good. But
nice.
Yeah, so if I were telling you to pick, I would say the Wanderers.
The Wanderers.
But I would go your local club, whoever that would be. Here, maybe...
Sydney FC.
Sydney FC, yeah.
I think so.
Well, why don't you go...
They've been terrible.
go to the Sydney Derby, November 25th. If you're going to go to any A-League game, that's the game to go to.
Yes.
And maybe whoever wins that, that's your team.
Done. Done.
Okay, deal. Right. Are we shaking on it? All right. I'm booking the tickets. And gentlemen.
November 25.
Yeah.
I think I'm available. Yes.
Okay, I'll be there. I'll be there. So I'm going to hold you to it.
Perfect. Okay, good to know. You went to Indonesia.
I did.
What month was that? Was that August or?
No, it was the end of September, start of October.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So a couple, how many? I don't even know what month it is. It's 2 months ago. Yeah. Yeah. You watched the Indonesian Premier League.
I did. Yes.
Interesting. Tell me a bit about the football, the Indonesian football landscape.
Well, it's interesting because the Indonesian football landscape is, it's such a, people don't realise how big of a population there is in Indonesia. Yeah. I think it's up like near 300 million people live there.
Yeah, wow.
So there's a massive supporter base there for football. Obviously, I think there's a bit, some issues with fans and safety and stuff.
Yep.
The team I went to watch was Bali United, and that wasn't really an issue at all. So it was good fun. It was really good fun going to watch the game there. In terms of the standard, I'd probably say probably NPL 1 here in New South Wales, about that level.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so it was pretty good level. Yeah, considering their resources and facilities and that, I was pretty surprised.
That's what surprised you.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't wild at all.
It wasn't that wild. The fans were really good fun. We went and joined in with them at one point, which was good fun, waving the flags and stuff like that. The most surprising thing, though, was definitely the food that they had at the game.
Good or bad?
No, just funny. Like, one of the major sponsors of the team was Indo Food, which is mee goreng, like 2 minute noodles. So outside the stadium, they would have all these stalls where they would give you a couple of noodles.
2 minute noodles.
Yeah, 2 minute noodles. And then they would also walk up and down the aisle selling drinks. And the one that shocked me was the ice cream sandwich, which was ice cream in a piece of bread. And you could buy
literally an ice cream sandwich. Yeah. I was thinking one of those Oreo things.
No. They had a loaf of bread and a tub of ice cream, and they would come put it on the bread, and then you'd pay like, I think it was like 50 cents Australian for this.
Okay.
And it was a hot night, so I had a couple.
Yep, fair enough. So 2 minute noodles and ice cream sandwiches at the Indonesian Premier League. Yep. Next time in Bali, I know where I'm going. This is going off memory. Was there something like an arcade or theme park next to the stadium? This is off complete memory. It's not written down.
So at the stadium, at Bali United Stadium, they have an arcade, like a full arcade in there, like a time zone style arcade.
Wow.
In the stadium. There was also a cafe. They had like a kids playground thing where you could drop your kids off while the game was on as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
Premier League daycare.
Yeah, pretty much. When you think about it, that's actually a good idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, just drop your kids off, go watch the game, pick them up after.
Unless your team loses, then the kid's not going to be too happy afterwards with the dad and mum.
Yeah.
I completely forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yes. Overall,
yes.
What is the Indonesian football experience out of 10?
Oh, it's just so different from anywhere I've watched football, but I'd say pretty high. Like, I had a great time. I'd say like an 8. 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10. That's solid. That's solid.
I'm going to drop it down to a 7. Because only because the crowd wasn't that big and the football wasn't great. But everything else was...
Well, the whole experience.
The experience, it was really good.
It's different. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Premier League's biggest issue right now. VAR. Yay or nay, Joe?
To it at all or...
Are we getting rid of it or no?
I think you've got to keep. I think it's hard to get rid of it altogether, but there's definitely better ways of implementing it.
100%.
Than right now, yeah. Oh,
it's, I know, every single week there's a new problem.
Yeah.
Every single week there's a new drama. Something's happened again where, it's just ridiculous. I think the lines for VAR, that's good. Goal line technology, yes.
Yep.
But these subjective red cards, I think it should just stay to the ref on the field.
Every single decision, or if it's...
Red card decisions. I reckon it should stay to the ref on the field, because I think... what I'm saying is they run to the screen, they look at it 15 times, and everyone's either going, yes, that's a red, or how is that a red? Now, if we don't watch it again as football fans, it's already happened. We don't get to replay it till after the game.
Yeah.
And the ref's just seen it as it is. I think we can respect the ref's decision more.
I think the refs, it kind of feels like right now the refs don't have any real ownership. Like, they are just kind of there. They don't really have to make the tough decisions because it's VAR doing it.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's an official making a decision. So yeah. Why not we just just speed the game up is what I want.
Do you find, so you find it hard with the start-stoppiness.
Yeah.
There's 12 minutes of added time sometimes.
Yeah, like I love watching Chelsea beat Spurs the other night, but that game was so long.
I know.
Especially, you probably had to go to school, I'm guessing.
I had to go to school. The game finished and I was in my second lesson. I was like, what is going on here? The start-stoppiness, I don't like either. Stop clocks?
Like as in you've got a certain amount of time to...
The stop clock. So when there's been stoppage, the clock will stop. The time will stop.
Okay.
I like it. I'll tell you why. I think it brings back those... He actually scored in the 90th minute.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I get
it
that.
It was the last kick of the game. Where now it's like 90 plus 8. It sounds cool in theory, but I'm seeing this and I'm like... I think it'd just be so much better if they just go classic football, stop clock. The 90th minute is the last minute of the game, no matter what.
Yeah, I could see that. Would you stop it every time it goes out, or was it just for decisions and stuff?
Decisions and
stuff. Yeah, because I was going to say, if you do it every time the ball goes out,
that's it'd be annoying.
It's a long game there.
But I think it's decisions. Look, when they do the stoppage time, it's for these long decisions like red cards and stuff. So you just stop the clock.
Yeah.
For those kinds of things. If you could change one thing about VAR, what would you change and why?
I actually think a good way of fixing it might be to introduce a timer. Like if there's a decision, because they always go back to clear and obvious.
Yeah.
But like how do you determine if something's clear and obvious? Like there's no real measuring stick for that. But if there's like a time where you have to decide within this time bracket... If you can't do it within that time, then it's not clear and obvious. Yeah. That's what I would say. So maybe a minute. They have like a minute to make their decision. But the thing with that is you've got to keep it, like you can't make people rushing their decisions because they'll get to a wrong answer.
I know.
So just keep the process as it is now. But if you're approaching that 1 minute, then that's it. We're going to stick with the referee's decision. Yeah. That's what I would
agreed.
Do. Yeah.
I think we need to give back the referee more power.
Yeah.
Because... Back in the old days, whatever the ref said, you agreed with. You'd go, fair enough.
Yep, off back keep to
moving,
the game.
Yeah. Moving on. Has the Premier League gone soft? Because there's been so many red cards this season. I think we've got more than last season altogether.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's new rules or everyone's a bit more aggressive this season. I don't know what's going on, but has the Premier League gone soft?
I think so. There's a couple of decisions I always struggle with, and it's the ones when players win the ball. Then they follow through and collect someone. I always struggle with that.
I struggle with that too.
Because this player, like Romero against Chelsea, he's absolutely smashed the ball. He's middled the ball. Like he hasn't clipped the edge of it. He's went straight through it. And then Fernandez was just standing the other side of him and he's on the other end of it. Fernandez wasn't really playing the ball. He was just standing there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's not like Romero's hit him as he's trying to play the ball. No, Romero's got the ball and then Romero's just in the way.
Yeah.
I'm like...
Agreed.
Yeah, so those types of decisions, I think the Premier League has gone soft.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's like Curtis Jones against,
yep.
I think it was Bissouma. He got the ball, 50-50, and then you can't pause once you get the ball. You can't just go follow through, stop, move, get out of the way of the foot. Like, why are we being so technical? I have no clue, but I 100% agree with you. These 50-50s need to be looked at a bit more not... soft, like I can't stand it. They should do 2 hour stoppages for the amount of times I've screamed at the TV saying how why, like this is ridiculous. And the fact that we've now got the PGMOL, who I didn't even know who they were,
we shouldn't know who they are really
until this season, that there's something wrong.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about better news. The announcement of the National Second Division starting in 2025. You're the person to talk to, not me. How big of an impact do you think this will be on Australian football?
Oh, I wish I could put it into words. The National Second Division, I think, is a golden opportunity for football in this country. Because right now we have an A-League, and then we have 12 teams who play professionally. Introducing a second division and doing it right can open the door to every club in Australia. From your guys at the local park, if they want to just climb up the divisions, they might be able to do that in the future.
Yeah.
Right now, we've got 12 teams and that's it. That's 12 communities, 12 areas represented. But what if we introduced these older clubs back into it where they can grow and really, you know, start being big powerhouse teams again? That way we're not just, if you're not a fan of like yourself, right? You're not a fan like right now of an A-League team. But you might have an affinity to another club within Australia, like your local club you play for. What if then you put all your support behind that club and that club can start climbing a pyramid all the way up?
Yeah.
I think it'll increase the support for Australian football across the country because so many people, if you don't have an A-League team, you just don't support an Australian team.
Yeah.
But a second division will allow people to really get invested in a local club in Australia alongside a European team.
Yeah.
And then you've also got the players as well. Like there's some really good players in the NPL who could be playing at an A-League level right now, but just don't, there's just not enough opportunities.
Yeah.
And there's not enough, you know, they're earning good money playing in the NPL, some of these guys. So why would you...
So why would you change?
Yeah, why would you change? If a second division comes along and they can earn a little bit more whilst, you know, playing for their club still,
with the not having to move. Potential of reaching the A-League.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I'm so excited for it. I really want to cover it as much as I can because... Mm-hmm. That's kind of a sad thing about Australian football right now is there's just not really enough coverage of these events and news and that. So that's what I want to kind of do through my accounts and page is just showcase it a bit more. Yeah, so looking forward to hopefully doing that.
Very cool. I just also want to note that there will be relegation and promotion.
Yes, eventually.
Eventually. Not straight away?
No. I know, this
wait,
is the thing.
Wait until that, once that kicks in, I think we got a proper
pyramid
on our hands. Like, that's going to be fun. Like if Sydney FC got relegated and another, I can just imagine the scenes.
Oh
right?
yeah, big time. I'd love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Ange Postecoglou, Aussie manager at Tottenham, minus the last two results, he's been flying.
Absolutely.
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
You get rid of Harry Kane. Debatably the best striker in the world. Maybe you got Haaland there too, but definitely one of them. He's killing it at Bayern, but you don't have him in that Spurs squad. You sign Maddison, fair enough, but you've gotten the best out of him. You know, he's getting the best out of all these players. Your thoughts on Tottenham Hotspur under Ange Postecoglou?
Oh, man. I can't explain how much I used to hate Spurs. And now I'm like watching their games religiously because it's just entertaining, and seeing an Australian in the Premier League feels very weird. But it's so exciting because it's like, whoa, this is this guy used to coach the Socceroos and now he's in the Premier League coaching Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think he's done an amazing job. If we go back to some people's Premier League predictions, saying he'll get sacked after 12 weeks. Yeah. Spurs finished 10th.
Yeah.
Obviously, his first loss of the season came against Chelsea, my team, which was it was a very unique game.
Nicholas Jackson was probably the worst hat-trick I've ever seen.
I fully agree with that. Not going to try justify his striking ability whatsoever. But, it was such a weird game. And the injuries and suspensions that, you know, it's pretty much led to that loss this morning as well. It'll be interesting to see how he goes from here.
Yeah.
Because that's a big setback, those injuries. But I still have belief in him just because he's shown so much already.
Yeah, they don't have the depth yet, but once they do, they're a serious team.
Yeah.
I love his press conferences too.
Oh, everyone loves
him. It's so good. They asked him who Robbie Williams was. He's like, mate, do you think I live under a rock or something? Like, who doesn't know who Robbie Williams is? It's just gold. Yeah. Absolute gold.
Yeah.
Really recent news in this story, Aaron Kunda,
yes,
Bayern Munich. Boom, as you said. Boom. That's exciting. That's really exciting for him and Australian football.
Oh, absolutely. And he's what an exciting player. Yeah. I think if you ever watch him playing at Adelaide.
I do watch Adelaide games for the sheer purpose of him.
Yeah, and how great's that? Like this kid is inspiring people just to watch him and watch his team.
Yeah.
You watch it on TV and he gets the ball, the whole stadium stands up. Yeah. Like it's insane what he's able to do. But yeah, I think he's probably the best talent to ever come out of the A-League.
Mm-hmm.
And a year after Garren Quall signed for Newcastle, that's a pretty big pretty big bar to not only set but improve on. Yeah. And I think we're going to see something very special from him in the coming years. Yeah,
Is he younger or older than me? I turned 17 in August, so he's probably a couple of months older than me.
Yeah, so he turns 18 in February. So
okay, yeah. So he's a couple of months older than me.
And the only reason I know that is because he can't actually officially sign for Bayern until he turns 18.
Gotcha.
So I think we're going to get him in the A-League for the rest of the season, and then he'll leave after that.
Awesome.
So anyone's watching this, trust me, get to a game and watch him because he's an excitement machine.
Do you know how many games he's suspended for at the moment?
It's just the one game because it was two yellows.
Two yellows. Yeah. Awesome.
It's just the one.
Yeah, definitely watch him because he is something to behold. I remember, was it his debut, he came on and scored the free kick?
Yeah, 15 years old.
That's just nuts. Imagine taking it off the captain or whoever it was, say, I'm taking this free kick, and buries it at 15 years old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
And I struggled to think to myself, he's kind of my age.
Oh, don't worry. I've went through it all myself. Yeah,
that's so crazy. And even the kids at Barca too, I'm like, you're 15? And you're playing with bloody Gundogan? Like, what's going on there? Okay, let's talk about the big question. Who's winning the A-Leagues?
Oh, that is such a good question. I'll start with the A-League women because there's a few surprises this year, actually. Perth Glory right now, top of the table. Four from four to open the season. But I think they are going to drop off a bit. Sydney FC have been the... They've set the bar for the last three seasons in that league. But they did pick up a major injury in the first game of the season. Nat Tobin, the captain, did her ACL.
That's right,
So she's out for the season. And I think with that, that's going to unsettle the team a bit. I think Melbourne City are going to come through win that game. Got some really, really good players in there. Hannah Wilkinson, New Zealand striker, scored the opening goal of the World
Against
Cup.
Against Norway,
she's had a good start to the season. So I think... Yeah, we're going to see Melbourne City win the league this
year. Melbourne City.
Bit of a surprising one because, Sydney FC, everyone, just every year, you just put them as the champions.
Yeah.
So then A-League men. Oh, man. I'm a Wanderers fan, so I really want to say the Wanderers. Had a good start to the season, top of the table right now, actually.
Yeah.
Sydney Derby up next, though, which anything can happen.
25th is soon.
Yeah.
What's the date today? I'm literally all over the joint at the moment.
The date is the 12th, so 13 days, 2 weeks.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can book tickets today.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to try and keep my promise.
I'll hold you to it.
But I'm going to give it everything to try and go to that match.
If I had to pick a team today, I'm actually probably going to go for Melbourne Victory.
Okay.
They've had a good start of the season, a really good squad. Last year, they massively underperformed their XG.
Yeah.
They should have, do you know expected points?
Yep.
They should have finished fourth. They finished second last.
Yeah.
And this year they've got Bruno Fornaroli, who's, I think he scored...
He's back.
Yeah.
He's, second wind.
Yeah. Four goals in one game. Rabona goal.
I saw that. That was class.
Yeah. So I'm going to put them as my champions. Melbourne Victory.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's move... There we go. Let's move over to the Premier League. Let's just do a review of the matches that have been played, and then we'll get into our score predictions for the ones to come.
Okay.
Wolves, Tottenham... I think we just spoke about this. I watched the game, you know. Oh, Tottenham 1-0 up. Brendan Johnson fell asleep, woke up, and I think it was Lamina just scored the winner. I couldn't believe what was going on.
Yeah.
Crazy. And you know what? Gary O'Neill's doing a great job at Wolves.
Yeah, I was surprised. I looked at that fixture and I said, even with these injuries, I think Spurs are still going to get the job done quite easily. Yeah. But yeah, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's very impressive to get that result.
I thought Gary O'Neill, he was at Bournemouth. I thought he did a pretty all right job. Like, what are you supposed to do with Bournemouth, right? Just keep them up.
Stay up.
And that's what he did, right? And I think a player that Gary O'Neill has gotten the best out of is Hwan Hee-chan. He's been on fire this season. He's in my fantasy team. I absolutely love him. So there you go. Manchester United, Luton.
I'll be honest, I did not catch much of this game. I watched the highlights before I came here.
Is there such thing as highlights with United? sorry. Sometimes I much rather watch United lose than Liverpool win. That's just the
fair.
Truth.
Hey, that's fair.
I get into the gym sometimes and James is like, how's Liverpool going? I said, I don't know, but United lost to Copenhagen. Lindelof got the winner in that. Yep. But they're just... Look, they're winning games. They've actually won the last five, I think, in the Premier League.
Oh, wow. It's hard to see that when the results in the Champions League. But hey, fair play.
But they didn't play well, but some person stepped up with individual brilliance and gotten the 3 points. And that will run out.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
That will definitely run out. And you know what? Credit to Luton.
Credit to Luton.
They've done a great job so far, you know. Yeah. They're showing character. They're showing identity. They're showing teamwork. And I think they're using their Kenilworth Road to the very best.
Yeah,
exactly right. That game against Liverpool, I'm watching it. And credit to them. We couldn't put our chances away. They made us really, really frustrated.
Yeah.
And they got a point out of it. So good on them.
That's what you got to do in that situation when you're Luton.
100%. Crystal Palace, Everton. Everton are going all right.
Yeah, Decore, I think, has been great this year.
Decore sent to Zidane somehow. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Here's a stat for you. Everton have won back-to-back away games for the first time in 3 seasons.
Wow, really? Yeah. All right.
So I don't know.
I mean, it's been a pretty rough three seasons for them. So
it has been, yeah. There was a funny stat when Liverpool won the Community Shield, Darwin Nunez' first game, and they said, Nunez has been at the club for 20 days and he's won a trophy, and it's been 26 years since Everton have won anything. But I don't know what's going on. They're winning games, which is quite almost impossible under Sean Dyche. Normally you just try and sit back and get a draw. But they're doing well. They're doing well. I'm not sure if you know about Crystal Palace's injuries, but Eze's been out.
Yeah, he's back this morning, wasn't he?
Yeah. And the difference he made is just unreal. You know, the skill this kid has, he's something special. And Michael Olise will be back soon as well.
Okay, right. So you might see a bit of a
Crystal
return.
Palace, watch this space, maybe. Yeah. I think they could have a good second half of the season. Arsenal, Burnley, did you catch that game?
I caught the highlights, but I don't like watching Arsenal when they're good. I prefer to watch them when they're bad.
I keep forgetting you're a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, so
I understand. Saliba in my fantasy team, I was happy about that. But I was like, I needed him because you know how you get 6 points if it's a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Brownhill for Burnley scored, and I'm like, you're kidding. None of my back line have gotten a clean sheet. And then two seconds later, Saliba scored. So I was happy. I was happy about that one. Newcastle lost 2-0 to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Newcastle in a bit of a shambles right now, aren't they?
Inconsistency.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of inconsistency.
I think Chelsea versus them pretty soon, actually. So it's a good time to verse them. But, I mean, we're probably not losing. But
is it St. James?
I think it is, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. not going to go well.
Let's move on to score predictions for the rest of the round. Right. Aston Villa, Fulham. Score prediction?
I'm going to go Villa. Villa 2-0. Ollie Watkins double. Is he? He's still,
yep.
Ollie Watkins double.
Ooh, I'm going to go 3-1 Aston Villa.
Yep.
Sometimes they have a great day at Villa Park. So
yeah.
I can see Douglas Luiz getting a goal or an assist. I'm just saying that because he's in my fantasy team. But yeah, Brighton, Sheffield.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy win for Brighton. Yep. Sheffield.
I'm going 4-0.
4-0.
Yep.
Is it going to be one of those Brighton performances or is it going to be the one where they get battered 5-0?
Yeah.
No, I think they'll win too. I'm going to go 3-0 Brighton. Yep.
Fair enough. West Ham, Nottingham Forest. That's a good match if you ask me.
That is a good game. Immediately my head is going to a draw. So I'm going to go 2-2, I reckon.
It's at London Stadium, so yeah. I'm going to go 2-1.
Yeah, West Ham?
Home advantage. They got Jared Bowen too, I think. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Brentford. I hate versing Brentford.
I hate versing them too.
It's one of those teams, you know?
Oh, Chelsea. I think they beat Chelsea 3 games in a row or something. Yeah, so
yeah. I think they've won more games at Stamford Bridge than Chelsea have or something.
Yep. Sounds about right.
I'm going Liverpool 3-1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
in
Anfield,
go.
So I just can't see that.
I reckon you're right, though. I reckon they might frustrate you a bit. I reckon it'll be 1-0 late winner.
1-0.
Darwizzy.
I just know it's taking the piss when people say shit like that. I'm like, oh.
Nah, he's last minute winner, Darwizzy.
I think he's quality, by the way.
Yeah, that's okay. I saw the name on the back of your shirt. I knew you must rate him. So.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think he's got all the pieces. He's just got to put it together.
Yeah, I do like players like that where that you can tell they're good. It's like Timo Werner when he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just if you could get that little bit right, you'd be a world beater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's only a matter of time. And I think in today's age of football, if it doesn't happen overnight, everyone goes, it's a disaster, you know? Well, I don't think that's the case. Now, Chelsea, Man City.
Oh, man. We're going to be brought back down to earth in a big way.
Yeah, I've got the sense it could be a draw, you know.
You reckon?
Oh. I've got this weird feeling that it could be a draw. I don't know why, but I'm going 2-2.
You reckon?
Stuff it. Why not?
I this is going to sound really weird, but I reckon that game against Spurs could do more damage than good.
Because the confidences are...
Yeah, but we didn't earn that confidence at all. Like,
yep.
Jackson took it the two after...
The worst hat trick. Men Spurs who are playing a high line.
Yeah.
And he did with the worst hat trick. I think that third goal, he went to pass it.
Yeah, and he kind of stumbled and went around the keeper.
Anyway.
I think we... 2-1. I'll go 2-1. I think we might... Like 2-1 to Man City. I think we might get one goal, goal somehow. But
Sterling.
Yeah. Cole Palmer is going to score against his old team.
I think Sterling will score against his old team too. So that's why I'm going 2-2.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think Cole Palmer's on penalties and I think he's brilliant penalty taker.
He is really good, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it's game time.
It's game time.
The first game is called 5-4-3-2-1. You might have heard it on social media, but you got to name 5 of something, 4 of something, 3 of something, 2 of something, then 1.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of this before.
You get one wild card. So that kind of means like if you need help, I can help you out and give you one if you need. Now, if I don't know it, then we're stuffed, all right?
Right.
Name 5 Brighton players.
Okay. Now it makes more sense. I get it now. Yep. Stupinen.
Mm-hmm.
Steele.
Yep.
And goal. Okay. Sorry. My knowledge is not great.
Don't be sorry. And the pressure gets to you too. I understand. If someone
Matoma, obviously.
Yeah.
James Milner.
Yep.
And I've named some very random players here. Evan Ferguson.
There we go.
Yeah,
classic.
Sorry, that was
all good.
Way harder than it had to be.
You should know this one. If you don't know this one, we've got a problem. All right.
Okay.
4 Matildas in the WSL.
Okay. Sam Kerr, Caitlin Ford, Kyra Cooney Cross, and Steph Catley.
Perfect. 3 Saudi Pro League clubs.
Al Hilal, who Western Sydney Wanderers beat in the 2014 Asian Champions League final.
Awesome. Awesome.
Al Nassir and Al Ittihad.
There you go. One more?
Can you name one?
Can you name one more?
Al Etifak. I could name...
Al Ali.
Al Ali. That's the there one I was going to think of. Yeah. And Al Waiter, which Craig Goodwin plays for.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah.
And Al Shabab, which is Iniesta's club.
Yeah.
There you go. Our Saudi ball knowledge is pretty good. 2 players with 200-plus Premier League goals.
Okay.
There's only 3, so you got to name 2 out of the 3.
Well, Shearer.
Yep.
And did he get over it? Did Harry Kane get over it? I think he did.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, Harry Kane.
You locking that in?
Wait, did I get a hint? I got a hint, didn't I, at one point?
You do. You can still use it if you want to.
Is the hint like you tell me who it is or is it no?
I'm just going to give you like a clue.
Because I know it was a number. It was a number where he couldn't do it in one season, but he could do it in 2 seasons.
Mm.
And Alan Shearer got 260-something, I think.
I can give you a clue. The other guy, because there's 3 and you've got to name 2 of them, the other guy played for United.
Yeah, I think I know who that other guy is. You said there's 3 who went over?
Yep. Alan Shearer, 1. Now you've got to name 1 out of the other 2.
Okay, I will... Yeah, I'll go, Harry Kane,
You're correct.
Yes.
213 goals.
Okay, yes. And what did Shearer get?
260.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know Wayne Rooney's, but I think...
Yeah, that's who I was going to go, yeah.
206, right. Maybe. One player which has played for Liverpool, City and Chelsea.
Raheem Sterling.
Boom. Done it. I think Daniel Sturridge also played for all 3 as well. I think when he was really young, he was at City, then with Chelsea and Liverpool.
Yeah, I remember playing FIFA 10 actually, and Daniel Sturridge was at Chelsea, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think that's all right.
Now, I'm not sure if you know this game, but we play it at the end of every episode on Inside, right?
All right.
It's called the Talking Soccer Bollocks Quiz.
Okay.
Don't ask why it's called that. We were having a laugh at the gym one day and like, you know what, we'll call that a segment on the podcast. So you got 8 trivia questions here.
Okay.
I want to see how well you're going to do.
All right, let's
now,
go.
Now, Natasha Dowie got 6 out of 8.
Oh, high bar.
That's like podium level. That's top 3.
Okay. All right. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good today. I've got this.
Can you beat a Liverpool legend? Let's find out. Who won the 2009 Champions League?
Okay. Was that? I'm not feeling so good anymore. 2009. Oops. Okay.
Also, just pause the... Push it out. Completely forgot about Doritos drinks.
Good, I can stall more time and
guava.
Thank you very much. Guava Doritos.
It's an ASMR channel now.
Mmm, delicious.
They're nice, eh?
Yeah, very nice. Cheers.
I'm spilling it. Crap. Seriously, night last night watching the Premier League.
It's so good, you're just trying to get all of it in your mouth at once.
I know, it's so good. So good. All right.
Okay.
But what question are we doing? Yes. Who won the 2009 Champions League?
Okay. Oh, I feel like I want to get this one wrong straight up. I'm going to lock in. Am I going to lock him in? Yeah, Barcelona.
Yes, you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What shirt number does Bellingham wear for Real Madrid?
Number 5.
Correct. Just wiping the table down with my Darwin Nunez shirt. Tick, tick. What is the Nottingham Forest Stadium name?
Oh no. Think the FIFA. Think the FIFA. What do they call it?
As you call it, the Divock Origi ground, as far as I'm concerned.
I feel like it's something like community.
You're on the right
village,
track.
Community. Oh, no.
You don't really have a time, but I will tell you to speed up a bit like our idea for the refs.
Okay, okay. Community.
I'm going to have to stop.
Okay, the township.
The township. The township. It's the city ground.
Oh,
but
damn it.
You were on the right track. I could see where you were going with
it. Yeah,
I knew
it was something like that.
Who is the manager of Wellington Phoenix?
Giancarlo Italiano.
Perfect.
Chiefy.
Chiefy.
They call him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who is the manager? Oh, this is so easy. Of Wolves.
Gary O'Neill.
Damn.
If we didn't speak about that, I reckon I might have got that wrong.
Okay, you got 4 out of 5 so far.
Okay.
You're going well.
We're on track.
Who won the last Europa League?
They beat Juventus. It might have been Juventus. It was an Italian club was in the final and they beat them because I know Italians lost every single final, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I can tell you that Italian team was Roma.
Yes.
Who beat Roma? Rakitic plays for them?
Yes. I was about to say it, but Sevilla.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 6.
Ooh.
All right, two more.
Okay.
Just looking at the other page, we've got 10 here to choose from. Okay, what? Okay, no one's ever gotten this one correct. And I find it so funny. Not even John Beach got this correct, and he's a diehard Liverpool fan.
Oh, no. Okay.
Natasha Dowie did not get this one correct.
All right, so if I get this, I am elite.
Elite. Inside right. Elite level member. What shirt number does Harvey Elliott wear for Liverpool? I don't know what it is about this question, but no one ever gets it correct.
I have listened to your podcast before, and I remember someone getting asked this question.
I'm so proud if you know it then.
But I know because I was trying to think of the answer when I was like listening to your podcast, and I thought it was like high 40s or something, but it's not. It's low. It's in the teens. And
yes.
Oh, I've got 2 numbers in my head. I've got 14 and 12.
I can't look at you because if it's the right answer, I'm going to smile.
Okay.
So you got 14 and 12 in your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to lock in 12.
It's 19.
Damn it.
And the run of not knowing Harvey Elliott's shirt number continues.
If you're listening to this, write it down right now in case you come on in the future.
Just a bit of VAR specialty. That's a send-off.
Yeah.
No one can remember or name it. Okay. Last question. This is the tie with Natasha Dowie.
Okay.
Take that.
I'll take that.
It's pretty good. What nationality is 18-year-old Real Madrid youngster Arda Güler?
Oh, God. I don't even know who that is. I've been watching any La Liga. Arda Güler.
Arda.
Arda.
That's his first name.
Arda.
Are you familiar with what country?
Yeah. Turkey.
Boom.
Yes.
There you go. 6 out of 8.
I've got that because of Arda Turan.
There you go. 6 out of 8. Take that. That's awesome. Thank you for, first of all, coming on today's episode.
No worries
at
all.
I'm glad you're enjoying
the guava. I'm very much enjoying it.
One more cheers.
There we go.
Thank you for, what's the word? Expanding my knowledge on Australian football. And yes,
no worries.
I'm going to let you know if I can go to the 25th game, the Sydney Derby. I'll try my best to keep my word on that.
Good man.
Cheers to Chelsea Football Club for, with the Nicholas Jackson. What can I say about Chelsea Football Club? Well done for spending $2 billion. And where are you guys?
I think we might be 10th.
10th.
With a game in hand against Man City, but, you know, so that we could go up to 8.
Is that the highest you've been in the past 2 years?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit of a nosebleed too high up the table, I think, right now.
Tuchel left. Well, he got sacked.
Yeah, he didn't leave. He got
I
told to leave.
I predicted that.
Yeah.
If you go back to my first ever episode of Inside Right, I said he won't stay.
Yeah. No, he falls out with a lot of boards.
And you'll know this too. All Chelsea managers rarely stay over 100 games.
Yeah.
Cheers to Manchester United. Keep losing, guys. I'm just looking at all the Premier League clubs. Good on you, Luton. Kenilworth Road.
Keep fighting.
Keep fighting. That's what. Do you have any clubs you want to shout out?
I'm going to give a shout out to Burnley.
Burnley?
Shout out Burnley.
Turf Moor.
Turf Moor.
Classic,
Vinny
iconic.
Company.
Shout out Bali United.
Bali United. Shout out Bali United.
And your theme parks. Actually, and your daycares.
Shout out Orange Sims in the Western Premier League back in my hometown.
Shout out
the boys.
And there you go. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. You'll never walk alone. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Wes. <Yes. laughs>